Okay. Got to talk fast. I wanted to talk about singing. And as I thought about singing and what it involves in church, obviously you have to think about things like praise, worship, and what it's all about. So I'm going to just run through a few things here, reasonably quickly, I think. I looked into these things, and one of our aims when we come together is, and one of our aims in life is to glorify God. And so I looked up glorify. Well, I had an idea in my head what I could imagine it. And without going into great detail, I thought, I kind of imagined glorify. A spotlight, putting a spotlight on someone. That's how I thought of it. You focus. You know, if you're in a dark room watching a play, you put the big spotlights on, and that person is lit up, even in a room of 1,000. That's glorifying you. You kind of, well, anyway. But as Christians, when we come together, we might say we come for a time of praise and worship. It's a kind of phrase we would say. And I think traditionally, I would think, perhaps a lot of people might think, praise would be lively songs. Worship, the quieter songs. That's often how we categorize it in our head, you know. So I was thinking a bit about this, and but when we do praise, we can praise in song, we can praise in word, we can praise in poetry, because if you think about praise, it says in a dictionary, commend merits, the merits of, to extol the attributes of. If I praise someone, I would say, oh, well done, that was really good, or something like that. You know, you praise them. And we don't even have to like somebody to praise someone, do we? You know, we can actually say, wow, didn't that team play well? Well, I don't know the first thing about them. I'm not interested in them. But I can actually acknowledge and actually say they really did well. We can praise that which we know very little about. We can praise even that we don't like. But we can still acknowledge that they did well. We can say we might not like such and such a car. It might look ugly to us. But we can say it's a well-made, very reliable car. And that's sort of praising it. So we can praise that which anybody can praise anything or anyone. So moving on to worship, and this is where I think we're going to go from a bit of a difference here. Worship, recognition due to or honor, respect, adoration, devotion, pay homage to, right, blah, 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 blah. Lots and lots of phrases. And some people are devoted to a football team. You know, they live for that football team. You go, you see their car, stickers on the back, stickers on the side, da, da, da. They walk around with the top on. Some go and watch all the matches. They'll spend thousands of years on their devotion. It is a devotion. They worship their football in many ways. I'm not saying they put their trust in football, but they do. The cost, the effort they put into it is a kind of worship. They're very affected emotionally if they win, if they lose. So that's a game, and yet people can, their life can revolve around this sport. Just a couple of questions. How much value or worth do we put on God? How do we value him? And then I'll swap it round. How much value or worth does God put on us? You know, you can't really say this, but in some respects, he worships us more than we worship him. It sounds blasphemous almost, but the value he puts on us and what the extent that he lives for us, concerned for us, we would say he worships us. You know, it's not the right thing to say, but you know what I mean? In value terms, what someone's worth. And that's what God thinks of us, and he has gone to that extent to us. And once, when I was out walking, well, we were doing something, and Matthew Wainwright, we were talking, and we're talking about the meaning of life, and they were like, ooh, you know, as if it was like the hardest question you could ever ask, you know, what's the meaning of life? And I said, it's to have a relationship with God. That's just a very simple answer, really. The meaning of life is to know him. And I know it's written somewhere that it says something like, to glorify and enjoy God's presence. It's an old right in some chapel somewhere. But that is what our purpose is, really, to have a relationship with God. And that's what it's all about. And in John 4:20-24, just before I say read it, it says, I'd just like to say, Father God seeks worshippers. That's what God wants, worshippers. And this is what it says in here. He wants heart surrendered to him. So we have this Jesus encounter with this woman, and they're having this discussion. And she's a bit of an outcast, but they're having a talk, and she's asked him a few questions. And Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. And in that statement, that he says, there's a phrase there that perhaps we've all heard, that we worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And many people probably think, oh, what does that mean? And then it might just run past. What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? And this is what I'm saying from this. True worshippers, they are those that are born again by the renewing work of the Holy Spirit. They believe those readings that Viv put up just before we stopped there, Jesus was always called the truth. The truth, the truth. You know, he's must. And so when you worship in spirit and in truth, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in the knowledge of Jesus. And when we put our trust in him, we are the worshippers. So he is just seeking people to be born again to worship him. I just see it as very simple, really. The church are the worshippers. And I'd go as far as saying, anybody can praise God, but not anybody can worship God. That's how I see it. They think, because they're not coming, if you don't come through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, you don't have that relationship to enter to worship. Only in the Old Testament, only certain people could to worship. And we are the worshippers. We are the worshippers. People can praise God because they can look at the creation and they can say, oh yeah, I think there is a God out there, and da-da-da. But the true worshippers worship through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's, it's really quite simple. That's how I see it. Very simple, isn't it? And that's what he's saying. One day, because he's talking before the church, one day, when those that recognize, because he goes on to say, I am the Christ, when you put your trust in me, and the Holy Spirit has revealed you of what I've done, you will worship. So then we have that. That's how I see what worship is. Now then. Yeah, I've got that. Spirit gives birth to spirit. So that's the Holy Spirit's work. And then in Romans 12, it talks about us being living sacrifices. And in that, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So if I can take something from that, worship is bigger than, as we become believers and followers of Jesus, we become worshippers. And as we serve Jesus, we worship. And, I put down here, when we use our car to help someone, that can be an act of worship. It sounds really odd, doesn't it? Maybe writing Thought for the Week is an act of worship. Maybe serving food on a Friday night is an act of worship. Maybe sending out a birthday card is in the church is an act of worship. Because it's all done in the name of Jesus. It's an act of worship. It is an act of worship, but it's not corporate like this, you know, where we all come together. We are serving, and God sees it as doing it in his name, because we wouldn't be doing it otherwise. But singing as well. Singing is very much part of all this. And when we come together, maybe when we come together on a Sunday morning to sing, to read, to pray, to speak, all this is an act of worship. The whole thing is an act of worship in his name. It's not just singing. It's the whole thing. We are worshiping together. But in that, as we come together, part of it is singing. This is where I started, where I finish. Singing is what I wanted to talk about. But I had to bring it in because... So we are worshippers. He's given us many abilities, and some people can write. Some people can write poetry and music. And this is brought together so that we can sing. And part of... So praise is part of a worship. When we come to sing and bless God, that is part of it. But it's not praise or worship. It's praise. Well, it's together. It's praise in worship. That's what it is. It's praise in worship. And that's what we do. We praise in worship. And we can praise outside of worship because, like I said, anybody could praise someone. But we, the worshippers, when we praise, it is worship. So it's one aspect. So when we come and when we share the bread together, it's an act of worship. So we can sing. God has given us, or most of us, or most of you, gotta go, shall we go with this? The ability to sing, we can sing. And it's something, why did God make us to sing? What we can talk, but singing is something extra, isn't it? It's a bit like, why did we learn to draw art? These are the creative things that God has given us. And singing is something special that was created for us, for him. Our singing is for him, actually, but it's used for everywhere else. But there is something that he delights in, our being able to sing. And do you know, people would often in the Bible, when something amazing happened in their lives, they would write a song. They'd write a song to celebrate and to remember this great thing that happened. And so, you know, when they came through, the Egyptians were chasing after the Israelites and they managed to escape them and all the enemy got drowned. What did they do? They wrote a song to remember that they'd been rescued and something to celebrate and praise God with. And then and later on, just in different cases, really. There was Deborah, she wrote a song. And David wrote many songs, we know that, don't they? And David set up people to be able to write songs and be able to sing these songs in the temple. And they wrote music, words, poetry. And when we read the Psalms in the Bible, that is the songs that the Israelites used to sing and read as part of their worship. God has enjoyed and wanted singing. He has given us the ability to sing. So what should we sing? As I thought about this, I was thinking about some of the things that we might sing. There's a song that I was listening to once, and it's by George Harrison, "My Sweet Lord." And you might sort of hear it on the radio, and it's a very catchy song, and you might sort of hum along with it and start singing it. And it's "My Sweet Lord." You think, oh yeah, yeah. And then when he gets to the end, he starts singing "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," and you get sucked into this song. I mean, it's an old song. We might hear it on the radio, but you could be drawn into singing something quite. I'm just picking some world songs that you perhaps know. You have things like "Imagine," John Lennon. We might all hear that, and it's a famous song. It's quite an atheist sort of song, really, because it's "Imagine there's no heaven, imagine there's no hell." And it's saying, imagine there's no God. It's just down to us, humanity, that we... And it's a song of atheism. You can join... don't join in. But people can easily join in these songs. One minute we're singing about, you know, Hare Krishna. Next thing we're praising Jesus, you know. Think about what you sing. Think about what you join in. I just chucked that in just as a thought, because do we put our singing, is it something important, or can we be singing, is it just sing song time, or do we actually mean what we sing, and we can sing, you know, to Hare Krishna, and we can sing to Jesus, you know, as we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't be. So if we come to praise God, what do we praise him for? We praise him for we praise him for who he is. And this is where the word, the truth, helps us, because we can praise him for who he is. And it's important, because a lot of people believe in God. But the character and nature of the God they believe in is not the same necessarily as the God that we believe in. And it's very important for us to be declaring who our God is. He's a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of righteousness. Some people have a misunderstanding of who God is. They think he's horrible and nasty. We need to declare who he is, who he is. What he has done. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We need to be declaring this, don't we? These are just some of the things that we can have songs, and if they're not connected with anything else, anybody can sing them. They're very emotional, but they don't have any depth to them. So they need to be connected to a song that has, otherwise you could just be singing anything. Jesus came. He has shown us what God is like. And this is why when we worship him in spirit and truth, we can see who God is through Jesus. We can praise Jesus, we can worship Jesus, because he showed us, he's shown us the way. He rose again and has given us. So these are things that we can pick up on when we sing. He came, and that's what you'll see in the songs. He has shown us what God is like. Jesus died for us. He has risen. He is an it gives us hope in it, that he is risen. He has prepared a place for us. We can have that eternal hope that we will be with him always. And these are the songs that you see what we sing, and this is why we sing them. Because as we sing, like those people celebrated with their songs, they can remember. When we sing, it helps encourage, you know, us to remember the truths about who he is and what he's done for us. You know, we can sing them even when we're not here, but we can bless God with them when we come together. And just as a thought, you know, when I was at my parents' funeral, one and the other, both the same really, and I was just sitting on the front row there, and I can't remember all the songs, but the memory I have, just sitting on the front row, and I don't know, I think it was just a piano, not much really, and I was just sitting there at the funeral, and then they said, we'll sing whatever it was, blah, blah, blah. And when they sang, this wall of sound just sort of, woof, it was like amazing, and I had to look around, like weird. And I don't know how many were there, perhaps about 100, and wow, I couldn't wait for the next song. And I thought these people, I had to look around to see, you know, wow, who's singing? They really could sing. And I'm not just saying, oh, because they were in Wales, but somehow, I know, it's true. But at both funerals were the same, you know, you just had this sort of wall of sound. It's because they want to sing. They wanted to sing. And you know, it doesn't, and I think when we say, oh, they're Welsh, you know, what stops us singing? What stops us singing like that? Because someone might hear me, I don't know. And if you're a bloke, well, I'm a bloke and blokes don't sing. You know, why can't we sing? Because in that sort of, their mentality is, I want to sing and I'm going to sing loud. And it's a positive mentality of singing, not, oh, someone might hear me, I'll just keep quiet on this one and mumble away. We should be singing our little hearts out. That's what I love it one day to be in here and this wall of sounds hits me. You know, poof. I don't think we could squeeze that many in here. We could just about, let's crank our singing up. You know, that'd be great. But that was just a memory of that, and I just thought about it. And I thought that way they sang was fantastic. And I just to encourage us, really. I don't want to compare us or anything because we're only about a quarter of the size. But let us sing and praise with all our hearts. You know, when we do it, because it's fantastic. But this sermon, which I'm just going to bring it to an end. It all came about last week. I was just sitting on the front row there, and this is kind of the opposite, really. I was sitting on the front row, and we were singing Light of the World. And I do this sometimes for one reason or for another. And we were singing, and I just stopped singing for a minute. And I know I've just told you to sing the art, but I just stopped singing. I just listened. And I could hear the voices coming through, Light of the World. And just people, these voices coming through. And it really struck me because it's very emotional, really. But because I sort of at that point sense something of what he loves. It doesn't have to be the loud singing. That, we enjoy that. What he loves is people brought out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light, and expressing it through song. well, and other ways, but that's what he loves. And I was just sitting there and I thought, all these people here singing gently, because it was nice and gentle singing, and they're just expressing that they've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of light, and they're just expressing quite gently that. And I thought, and God just loves it, because I just could sense that there. And that's what he wants. He just wants us to express that we are brought out of this darkness, out of this lostness, and he wants us just to express it, just to sing it, just to bring it across. And that wasn't sung loud, and I know I say, ooh, sing loud. And sometimes it's got, but really it's got to come from your heart. And that's the important thing, really, that we know that Jesus has saved us. We know that he has rescued us. And then that comes from us, that we just bring in that, saying, thank you, you've rescued me. You've brought me into your kingdom, and I'm eternally grateful. That's not a song, but you can write it into one. And that's really, and just to finish with, and find it. That's not too hard to find. That's it, really. But it was really, I just enjoyed, I just listened, you know, and sometimes I just listened and I could hear this and I just thought, you know, this is what God, I could just, somehow I had eyes in the back of my head and I thought, these people once were lost, but now they're found. And they are expressing it. And that's what we want, people just expressing that. I'm just going to do a reading and then finish. It's in Revelation 5, and this is, singing goes on forever. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb. It's talking about Jesus, by the way. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven, well, it can be seven spirits, sevenfold spirit of God, sent out into the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You think of this now as different levels of singing. This is right the inner circle of the throne of God, but it's going to grow and grow. So you have this, the first level, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. You know, that's his church, worshipping. They recognize it. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. Here we are, next level now. Many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000s. They encircle the throne and the living creatures and the elders. So it's the picture's opened out now. Let's have a look, bigger picture. They encircle the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Whoa, but it doesn't finish there. Then I heard every... Now listen to this. This is interesting. This is really interesting, I think. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Ooh, worms. That's what it says. I lost myself. Under the sea and on the sea and all that is in them singing everything, because they recognize there's a come a point when everything will know Jesus. What do they sing? To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. Everyone one day will know Jesus, but we at this moment, we know him and we can worship. And we can worship by singing. Ah, thank you. Do you know, sometimes, just to finish, well, I have finished. Oh, sometimes, do you know, you come to sing and to praise, and sometimes we're not in the right place because of what's going on, and it takes half the service to get yourself in the ready to praise or worship, whatever you want to call it, sing. And you know, if we prepared ourselves sometimes before, we'd be there ready to go. But true worshippers can worship anywhere, but it's lovely to worship together. Right, now I'm finished.